Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 10, Episode 6, titled Bonds. Aaron, what did you think of this episode?
I thought this episode had some really good stuff. I really liked Negan trying to work his way into the Whisperer cult. I thought that stuff was pretty good. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Rosita and Eugene. I thought that stuff was kind of weird and wild.
Yeah.
And Carol is also being kind of annoying. You know, I like that she's the big protective mama bear, but I hate it when she takes it upon herself to do whatever the fuck she wants. Damn, you know, any kind of democratic system, fuck any kind of consensus, any kind of existing power structure. She's just going to do it. She's just going to banish. She's just going to kill. She's just going to take prisoner.
Carol's gonna Carol,
and Daryl's having some problems with it, as you can imagine. What did you think?
I mostly liked it. I think I kind of see where they're going with a lot of this stuff. Like, it's pretty obvious after, you know, we saw them damming up the waters and cutting open walkers, what's happening there in Alexandria with this stomach bug that's going around. Disappointed in Eugene for his lack of creative thinking. All he could think to do with the Soviet satellite is to build a radio, a super radio.
Yeah.
We came up with better ideas, but it's not bad, probably
more in his Gilligan's, you know, island kind of professor wheelhouse. I'm still holding out hope
for
some radiation therapy for King Ezekiel.
We'll or see. A nuke. One of the two.
Or a nuke. Step one, find the herd. Step two, destroy it. How are they going to destroy 10,000 walkers?
I don't know, man. That was one of the things that bothered me in this episode. Not many of them did. The Rosita stuff is weird. And then this idea that, like, Carol's going to find the horde and she's going to... I don't fucking know. What is her plan? If you locate the horde, how does that help you in any way, Carol?
That's the thing. It's like, I think that you're supposed to, I don't know. I understood at the end of the episode that this whole thing was a sham, that she intended to take someone prisoner and torture them or whatever, get information out of them to try to find a weak point. But I don't know if you can find, I mean, I do think that if you could find out where the herd is,
but Daryl's
too
smart for that.
They are vulnerable. He's too smart because there's a couple times where it's like Carol played all the I'm lying to get over. I'm abusing our relationship and trust to get you to swallow the lie. She played every page out of that game plan. And like Daryl went along with it because I think that he just does trust and respect her that much. And I hope that there's some serious damage done to that trust at the end of this relationship, because she's proven that. She will use even you, Daryl. She will use and manipulate even you to get you to go along with her own ends, or to make sure you don't interfere with her ends. Because I don't think she cared to have his help there.
Oh,
she
no.
just didn't want him to go off and tell everybody. So now Daryl's in a position where he has to tell the council. I don't know. We'll see. Because I guess they could stretch this out with like Daryl and Carol being in some kind of wood shack with Carol getting progressively over the line, treating this Whisperer, and Daryl getting increasingly uncomfortable.
I don't know if it's a line they're walking or if they just don't really notice it. But when they're, you know, when they're creating these scenarios, Daryl is saying like, look, you're not looking in the right place for Negan, and obviously he's not that stupid. He's not going to show himself in a field, a clearing. And you're not that stupid either. Well, Daryl, you're not that stupid to believe what Carol's saying here, because if she finds the horde, what is the point? You knew where the horde was before. You had no response to it. To have Daryl like go along with this without, you know, pointing that out is a little.
Yeah.
Unlike Daryl, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it made sense to me that, like, I think that on some level, Alpha knows the horde is vulnerable when they're just out there and open. Because, like, let's say they're in a valley and you can find a way to divert a river to flood it.
Okay.
And you know, like make it to where these this herd is unusable or whatnot. Like, I think or like a big fire. We talked about like a forest fire, or you could like spray gas on them. I mean, I don't. And we know that necessarily won't kill the zombies, but it'll definitely fuck up their combat effectiveness. So yeah. She is hiding them. So step one is to find them to where you can make them vulnerable. And I guess, like I said, if Daryl is operating on Carol's in kind of good faith, then step one, you find the walker herd. Step two, you go back to the Alexander Council and say, well, here's her super weapon. Now let's analyze it for weaknesses like the Death Star. But she was just being disingenuous as to that being her plan the entire time. She wanted to capture. That's why she had the zip ties and shit, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
She was there to take hostages, let's say. She wasn't there to peacefully protest their behavior.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Did she zip tie herself to a walker? That's going to happen.
I want to talk to you about the... Alpha's poisoning the well strategy working.
Okay.
Are these people going to turn to zombies?
Maybe.
Because I feel like, you know, they've definitely shown in the show where if you dip a arrow or something in zombie juice and that gets into your bloodstream, you're done. Zombie blood getting to your eyes and mouth doesn't do it. Drinking like diluted zombie blood and water. Like, I don't know what the, but like, you know, there's some pretty heavy hitters that have been laid low, including Rosita. I don't know. The show's got me scared for the main characters again, because they'll just up and kill them now.
Did they? Man, it's been so long. It's been, I don't know, 7 years since the prison arc. Did they do this sort of thing in the prison arc? Wasn't there like a...
There was a plague, but I don't think it was walker based. I think it was just like people got really sick, like a bad case of the flu was killing people. Okay. And when you died, then you, of course.
Right.
I mean, if they die of just a high fever, yeah. I'm just wondering if like there's a cure, because if once you get bit by a zombie, you know, it's all over. You can either hack the arm off or leg off before it spreads to the rest of the body, or you're done for. I mean, if it's in your guts. If it's causing you a fever, you're done fucked. But I don't know. Like, the zombie science is just wishy-washy enough that I don't know.
We should get to see their plan for dealing with people who expire in the infirmary, though. Because some of these people are going to die, I believe.
Yeah. Fucking Dante, man. There's another one that I'm, like, really up in the air about how to feel about this guy. This guy, I don't know.
Yeah, like, is he trying to do the right thing by letting Sadiq have some cocoa time, or is he being negligent? You know, there's a fine line there.
I don't know. Is he literally, like, if people talk about being pan and omnisexual, is he just, like, literally omnisexual? He'll hit on anything that is a living, sentient being?
He's out there rating walkers.
This man does not. Yeah, well, I mean, he might draw the line at living, you know. Okay. But still maybe. Old grandmas, hot doctors, baby mamas that are otherwise engaged to stalwart members of the community, doesn't matter, he's going to pick a pass.
Yeah,
Eugene, your long ponytail swinging down back past your ass crack, that's speaking to me. Come here, Eugene. I gotta give you a little bit of it too. Like, this guy, holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Swipes right on everything. That's not good, bro. Okay. Yeah. Do we have any general pitter patter, or should we get right into this thing?
I think we should get into the recap, but first let's take a little break.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
All right, we're back. Let's go ahead and get into the recap. Carol wakes up and she ponders whether or not to take her gun with her on a Negan sweep outside the gates. Daryl goes with her and realizes her Negan sweep isn't actually why she's out here. She says that she's instead going to find out where Alpha's hoard is and she wants to destroy it. But how she'll do that, she doesn't really say.
Daryl's got a badass new scar. I don't know if he got that in the previous episode or like the previous couple and I didn't notice, but he's got this like big bright slash going down through his eye. It makes him look even extra piratical. Yeah,
I noticed that too, but I wasn't sure where it came from either. Maybe it's been there all along and I just haven't noticed it.
Well, they've been doing a lot of intense zombie combat with the constant incursions on the hilltop and all that. So
yeah, but I mean, when's the last time Norman Reedus showed his face? His hair constantly covers
true.
It.
That's true.
What, season same 2 with Daniel maybe?
Same thing Daniel Radcliffe in Harry Potter. Like, he's got that mop top. You can't ever see his lightning bolt-shaped scar unless he actually says, hey, look at it. Look at here. But, huh. Yeah. He's you got to get his hair out of his face before you can actually see his cool new scar.
Yeah. I want to believe that Daryl's up there on the porch smoking weed. That it's either a blunt or a hand-rolled cigarette. I can't tell.
It's definitely hand-rolled, but it looks pretty dubious. Not dubious, dubious.
Yes. So then we find out there's a stomach bug going around and Dante is diagnosing a patient with it. Sadiq stops by with a baby carrier and asks if he can help out, but Dante says, no, you go spend some time with your kid there because they grow up so fast. And he also hits on everything in the room at the same time, except the baby.
Does he hit on Coco? Because that's what brought on the whole boundaries, man. You got to have boundaries. And
he
I'm
was
like,
coming
ah.
in to kiss. Yeah.
Yeah. Dante, man. Or it could be that like, hey, you've been dealing with sick people and I want you to stay the fuck away from my baby kind of like boundary.
Could be.
Like with Dante, I don't know. This Dante guy is just poor man's Jason Lee. Mm-hmm. A little too extra. Can't get a good read on him. Could be a whisperer plant. I'm decided I don't like him. Don't like this guy.
All right. I don't mind him. He's
worthless
a horned
in
on,
bed.
But that's fine.
75-year-old woman can snap him like a twig. Yeah. He's all talk. All talk. All hat. No cattle.
I don't buy that woman could snap him like a twig. But with or without stomach virus. Not buying it. So then Carol has... We go back to Carol and Daryl. She's pinpointed the general area where the walkers are coming from, and she wants to go looking for signs of the horde inside Whisper territory. I don't...
Yep, and she's got the excuse because Daryl's like, you know, why weren't you on the level with me? And she's like, you know, I just didn't want you to worry about me because you... I do think she's using some of Daryl's stuff against him. Like Daryl, like, is probably for his personal boundaries been overstepping them, taking personal concern over Carol, you know, but he's uncomfortable with it. He's doing it anyway because he cares for her. And she's using that to kind of like, oh, I know Daryl cares about me. He also doesn't like confrontation. He doesn't like people up in his business. So he probably knows at some point that he's kind of up in my business and I'm going to back him off. I'm gonna back him off a little bit by pitching close to the plate or whatever. And I think that's what she's doing, because this whole episode, she's just kind of fucking, you know, blowing smoke up his ass and using his own feelings and philosophies against him. While to hide the fact that she's being dishonest and duplicitous. So
yeah, he's on to her shit, different though. Like, he's not just swallowing what she's dishing out here.
He is, but he's not willing to call her on it. Yeah. Not yet anyway. And I'm really curious to see, like, especially with their long and close relationship, like, whether this is going to do part damage, whether this actually maybe goes the other way and convinces Carol that she's going off the deep end. But this got to have consequences for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it probably wasn't the only whisperer in the pack that she ends up taking hostage, right? So they'll notice that whisperer's gone. They'll know something's up.
Yeah. They left a lot of physical evidence. They gutted a zombie. But I guess, I don't know. Like, I was trying to, the whole time this has happened, I was trying to think of, like, okay, what's the plausible deniability? What's the plausible deniability? Like, it's dark. The other thing is, like, it seems like whisperers kind of go missing from time to time.
Yeah.
Like, Beta kills one and throws Negan to the and like, nobody says, like, we're missing a whisperer. Did Negan? It was just more like Negan couldn't make it out of the situation alive. Like, it's inherently dangerous to do this, even if you take all your precautions. So I don't know enough about whisper culture and all that to know whether what's a smoking gun or not. So it could just be like, well,
yeah,
Barry fucked up. He got a little too particular about not smelling like a zombie, and they ate his ass in the moonlight. And we heard that snapping noises. We kind of all suspected somebody had gotten it. And now in the light of day, we know it's fucking Gary or Frank or whoever it is.
Yeah, you get the feeling watching this when Beta's like, oh, it's not smart to show him our ways. They're kind of talking to the audience, too. Like, the more they show us of the whisperers, the more consistent they need to be with that, the less mysterious they are.
Right. It
they run the risk
on them as writers
of, yeah, like, either fucking up or, I don't know, just removing all the mystique and the terror from.
Yeah. Because there's also a risk of them just coming across looking very silly.
Yes.
Like, the more we found out about the trash people, the more stupid it all seemed, right? So, like, right
and
now,
we have
they're
so many
mysterious
questions that right kind of need answers. You know, how have they survived? Like, if they walk among the walkers, well, the walkers don't eat, the walkers don't shit, the walkers don't sleep. Mm-hmm. How do you do those human, very human things amongst the dead? They're
pit
starting to get into that
apparently
stuff.
All pit barbecues. You just bury a flaming pig, come back a day later, you got barbecue.
I mean, it's perfect, right? You migrate away from the cold during the winters. When you do cook, you do it underground, so there's no smoke. It all kind of makes a certain amount of sense.
Do you think that walking zombies as a big herd, I would think that would wear them out faster? Like, a zombie sitting on a city bus, it's just kind of sitting there. It's not really wasting away. It's not degrading. Its joints aren't getting weaker. But a zombie is marching for a couple thousand miles a year. Yeah, that's a lot of wear and tear on the bottoms of the feet, on the joints, on the cartilage, the sinews, everything. Like, are they literally walking these zombies into the ground? Or do you think that the zombie physiology doesn't work that way?
I think the show doesn't care whether it does or not, you know, like, they're going to make zombie physiology work the way they need it to in any given situation.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
So we go out to Negan, who's blindfolded and being led somewhere by the whispers. He won't stop running his mouth about joining up with him, and he claims that he's willing to give them the secrets of Alexandria.
Which, I mean, this, I
don't know. Is that why they're keeping him, or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talked about,
but they don't know who he is, right?
They don't know who he is quite yet, but he just reveals himself. And we talked about this a little bit last episode, that I feel like that the whisperers kind of will take anyone in, you know, like, if they'll put them through a process and acclimate them, and they don't expect perfect obedience in the very beginning. It's kind of like a Davy Jones ship in the Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, do you get a choice? Do you want to walk with the dead, or do you want to be the dead? And most people probably like, I guess I'll walk with the dead. And then they weed out the ones who aren't serious or can't do it. Negan though is just, it's just so funny watching him. Like he's got a strategy. I still think that he is double secret, double agent for Alexandria. But on the other hand, I also don't know why he doesn't just like fucking gut her like a fish as soon as he gets within range of her. He doesn't have a weapon. But I mean
he'd probably be gutted like a fish by Beta. I don't know. I mean, his plan could be three things here, right? He could legit want to join up with the Whisperers, which is insane, and I don't believe it for a second. Could be trying to gain their trust and then use that to help Alexandria to win sort of the favor of the community he actually wants to be a part of. Or he could be trying to usurp the power of Alpha and create sort of a new group of saviors, regain what he lost to Alexandria by taking her tribe.
There is a little bit of that, because he says, like, you know, if I had a big bruiser like you, things might have gone differently with the whole Alexandria thing. But I guess I take it for granted that and the free marketplace of ideas, Rick's morality and ethics have won Negan over. Like, he sees the error of his way. Yeah. I think I'm right. But like he, and I thought last episode he might be like suicidally brave. Like, I don't think he obviously cares and he's willing to risk his life, but I don't think he necessarily wants to die. Like, there, he might be entertaining thoughts of like, how can I destabilize these people from within? You know, if I can split Alpha from Beta and I'm secretly for the Alexandria group, then I've made them weaker because Beta's formidable. You know, he went toe to toe with Daryl and lived to tell the tale. So, and that's Alexander's best fighter, right? Yeah. And yeah, all that to also get in with the good graces once and for all. Like, there's enough that's like they're not telling us that make it still kind of like exciting. And plus, just Negan just fucking with these people is just really funny. Like, I've never seen him be this kind of Negan with a person that I didn't like. And it's a lot more fun watching him Negan somebody when you don't like care about their friends and family than what is this, some, you know, Frankenstein, five and dime Frankenstein. That's just...
I want to see Negan ball tap Beta. That's what I want. Those big meaty sausage fingers into action.
God damn it. That'd have been funny if at the end of the episode, when he's like shining him onto that grin, if he just going to have both, you know, got a Beta tap, keep you on your toes there.
He does mention balls in this episode.
He does.
All right. Let's go over to Jerry's wife hanging out with the Hilltop AV Club, which consists solely of Eugene. He has created a super radio out of the Soviet satellite components. She quickly exits the clubhouse, leaving Eugene to test his radio alone, and he gets Rosita on the radio. She's running a fever and asks him if he's coming back soon, and then the radio malfunctions, and he says, call you back later. She says, I'll call you back later. What is going on here?
What the fuck is happening, Jim?
Are they trying to ramp Rosita up so they can kill her with the stomach bug thing? Because
I don't know.
She's had no plot this season.
I don't know. But everybody wanting a slice of Eugene, and then the look on her face, she looked thirsty for Eugene. And I do not understand. I don't understand what they're going with Jerry's wife. Like, Eugene seemed like he was like willing to, like, he's just starving for female companionship. The thing that is wild to me is just two or three episodes when we talked about how great the conversation was between him and Rosita in the friend zone and all that kind of stuff. They're going back to this well. And again, the only cover to make sense is Rosita's, you know, delirious with fever.
Yeah.
And Gabriel's not available and Sadiq's over at Hilltop. And so she's, but that makes, I don't know, man, that changes how I kind of feel about Rosita. I guess still delirious with fever, whatever. But I don't know what they're doing. It's annoying.
It is. I didn't really care for it. And the only thing I can think is they know they're about to kill Rosita with a stomach bug. So give her something to do, because what has she done in this season? She's punched a few things.
She's mothered a child. She squeezed a living being out of her vaginal canal. Jim, is that not enough for you? Christ,
this season?
She's a young mother. Didn't it happen this season? I thought she's just pregnant the last season.
Yeah, it might have happened between seasons. I can't remember, but she hasn't done much in the plot. Like, this baby has been under the care of everyone else, right? And she's been punching things And she BTFO'd Eugene. Maybe they're just saying, look, however fit you are, this thing can take you out.
So
be scared.
I hope they're not going to kill her. I like Rosita, and she's one of the ones that was kind of criminally underserved in terms of plot just throughout the whole series, you know, of all that collection of people that, you know, Eugene and Rosita and Abraham, like she's the one consistently that didn't get much to do. And she's in kind of a really interesting personal plot here. And for them to kill her in the middle of that's kind of doing her dirty, I would think. But we'll see.
Yeah, got a bad feeling about it. And clearly, like, there's something more to this bug, right? It's not just a bug. They're going to do something bigger with this, it seems. And you get the impression that, like, well, okay, so Daryl and Carol go out there. They capture a hostage, try and get information out of him. I assume the information they're going to get is about them damming up the creeks and tainting the water supply. Or they'll discover it while they're out there, maybe. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, Aaron already knows. That's the thing. Like,
I guess he would, unless he's just too busy giving her bandages to notice what she's doing.
Not notice what she's actually doing, or, like, after she takes off, investigate to see what the hell. Like, I that's kind of a bad look, but
they don't mention
I also
it,
am not sure how really. The timeline lines up. That literally could be the afternoon that Carol and Daryl take off that evening, so
yeah,
I'm not until I see Aaron mingling with the council and not telling him things, I'm not going to get too pissed off at it. But
yeah, which might be like him, who knows. Council has not been on his side very much lately.
I hope they don't set up that thing of like, well, Aaron is getting intelligence, but he's doing it the right way by befriending a whisperer and all that kind of stuff, and Carol's doing it the right way because like they're both not doing it the right way. The right way is to tell the rest of the council and like get like everybody, hey, I'm thinking about befriending this whisperer. What's everybody think? You know, how should we do this best? Blah, 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 blah. And Carol's like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a daring midnight raid on a blah, blah, blah. But nobody's doing things right. So like,
no. I don't know. Eugene is. He's making super radios. So
Eugene is actually doing something very useful. Everyone wants a piece of him. Everyone wants a little slice of Eugene.
Except the ladies. They don't. They'll stick with whatever they were eating before.
I know, ham lady's looking, and Rosita, you know,
like wait until she gets a look at that ponytail.
Eugene's like GME stock, and probably everybody's buying high now.
Wait for the dip. That's what I say.
buy the dip. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Carol and Daryl take turns trying to hit a can with acorns. She asks him about Connie, and he claims, "Oh, there's nothing going on there." And she's disappointed he hasn't given a shot with her. And then they see some walkers in a clearing being led around by a whisper. Daryl keeps the double capper.
Being lucky. I mean, that's. Is he ready to couple up? Is he ready to break his streak of asexuality? I thought, like, I was sitting on the edge of my seat, like, are they actually going to have a straight up talk about, like, Daryl and what his deal is? Because it's all been kind of stuff that we've surmised. And, I mean, it's. I think that would be super interesting. And the show acknowledging it and like talking about it is interesting, too. I also wonder if there's a little bit of like it could be because, you know, Carol's always been a little thirsty for Daryl from way back. It could be that Daryl is not attracted to Carol and he is attracted to Connie, but he feels weird. Like, well, if that is my whole deal is like I just never get in relationships, then it's going to be, you know, why retroactively hurt Carol's feelings for not being. Like, I don't know. That's kind of an immature way to look at it. But Daryl, in a lot of ways, is a little boy.
Sure. Yeah.
So I could see that factor. What do you make of it?
I mean, I think Daryl. I don't know. I mean, Carol implies that just like he's sort of reserved in that way when it comes to romance. And that might be underselling it. I'm not sure. It like we've talked about this in the past. We talked about it last episode, I think, about Daryl's like potential asexuality. I'm not sure. I don't think the show has given us a clear, definitive answer on that. Because like you said, there are many reasons he might not go for Carol, especially now that she smells like shrimp all the time. I mean, I get you. Although he doesn't smell so good himself, I can tell you that much.
Shrimp boat Carol. You don't want to stay away from shrimp. Sure. Her hair smells like a fishnet 24/7. Yeah. It gets worse from there.
Aquanet hairspray.
The all natty kind.
I don't know. We'll see. I am looking forward to finding out more about how Daryl feels about Connie, because we know how she feels about him. She's into him. All right. Beta doesn't like that Alpha's willing to entertain Negan's story and says as much. And Alpha puts him in his place. And so he kneels to her and Negan notices and immediately starts up with all of his shit again. Getting under Beta's skin. Both layers of it.
The look he gives when he sees him kneeling, like he is just having the most fun. Like, oh my god, this is a whole other avenue for me to drive down recklessly. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm gonna careen in from car to car, run a few pedestrians over. Gonna be a good time.
Love it. So then we go back to Sadiq stopping by to see Gabriel, but instead he finds Rosita sick on the couch. He takes her to the infirmary. And this, I don't know, not much to talk about there, except then we get to Eugene waiting for Rosita to call. She never does. In fact, no one from Alexandria is responding when he tries to reach him. So Eugene switches over to another frequency and begins openly broadcasting as Taterbug. Why? Taterbug. Why? Am I missing something about Taterbug? Is this a reference I should get?
It's the spiritual successor to Doodlebug.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I don't feel like Eugene would pick that for his handle. He would go something more overtly badass, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Or I don't know. Maybe he does this. Maybe he does the cutesy act to try to get in. Who knows? What is his move? I haven't seen any successful ones, so Taterbug makes sense. Yeah, what's the one
does the cutesy act? Who's he gonna raise on the radio is the question. Because if he raises a guy like Negan and he's using the handle Taterbug, the cutesy act is not gonna serve him very well.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I believe it's very possible to triangulate someone's location from a strong ham signal, right?
Like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if you what kind of gear you need for that, but like it does seem like it'd be very easy to triangulate if someone's broadcasting consistently at a single location. You know, you take a reading of the strength and then you go walk 10 kilometers in another direction, take another reading and then use that to start triangulating their location.
I will say it's a lot easier in our world to move 10 kilometers and take another reading. It's probably pretty difficult to move that far
with an actual ham radio setup.
Also, from what I understand, he's created essentially a shortwave radio that could be communicating. Mm-hmm. And I know this woman is speaking American English and she's familiar with Pennsylvania, Texas, all that. But she could be across the globe, right? She could be in Australia for all he knows.
I think that's right. I think that you can do crazy shit like bounce off of the moon. You can bounce it off the ionosphere, which they kind of get like crazy. Usually it's line of sight, but you can bounce stuff off of this and that and get longer range. But I could easily buy that he's talking to like the entire Atlantic seaboard, which is kind of surprising that I thought that there would be many, many more people with radios that could pick this up. Maybe not as powerful that can transmit back, but like he's. I got to think there's a lot more survivors than what we're just seeing, judging by how many survivors we've met, you know?
And I mean, they probably have to be on the right frequency and monitoring it. And like, clearly, like if they're anything like Alexandria, they just aren't monitoring their radio half the time. So,
right. That's true. Yeah. They all got struck with the flux or whatever.
Right.
They got their own whisperer problems.
So we'll find out what comes of that here in a second. Daryl and Carol watch the herd gather, and Carol wants to find the horde by crossing the border into Whisperer territory. When she's out peeing, Daryl looks for a gun in her bag. We can't find it. She says she didn't bring it. Daryl agrees to cross the border with her despite the potential consequences.
I love the backpack cam, you know, his face and rummaging through her sack and all that stuff. That's pretty cool. I always like it when they do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This whole episode is Daryl being like, hey, you're not going to go find Negan. And she's like, oh, I'm totally out here to find Negan. No, you're not. OK, you're right. I'm out here to try to find a herd. OK, but you better not lie to me no more. Why aren't you straight with me? You know, I think this is more about crossing their border. No, I'm just looking for the herd. Well, why are you crossing the border, Carol? Okay, it's about crossing the border, but we're going to tell the council as soon as we find him. I promise. Like, yeah, he's just, I think Daryl wants to see for himself, like, how low she's gotten, because he makes this point, like, does he do it here? Yeah. If we do, we got it. If we're going to do this, we got to do it smart, because this is not just us. If we fuck this up, we mess it up for everybody. And he made that point to her about the gun. Like, you know, that's why I searched for the gun, because if you're going to do something crazy, the gun. And she does this other thing where she's like, oh, silly, I used up all the bullets, remember? And he's like, hey, there's other bullets in Alexander. She's like, pfft. Then she plays the card search me, which I kind of think, I don't know. I think she did have the gun on her.
She might.
Like, yeah. It's sad, but I also understand why Daryl would do it, because he just, until you see it for yourself, you just don't ever think that someone that you care that much about is going to, like, fucking lie to your face like that.
Yeah. So then we see Beta forcing Negan to dig a hole, which I guess is part of the test. And there are a whole bunch of whispery things he does in this scene, like skin peeling, body moving, pig sticking. Yeah. I continue to hate the licensed music in this show.
This is bizarre,
dude. The tonal clash here is what they're going for. I get it, but it's just weird.
It's like Benny Hill music playing, you know, Yakety Sax playing in this montage. And it's, the thing is it's a funny montage. And I'm not saying that a certain amount of lighthearted music couldn't work, but this just didn't do the thing. This didn't do it.
No, man.
And it's like objectively hilarious. Like, we haven't even skimmed the surface of like the hilarious shit that Negan's saying. Like, he said, oh, I get it. It's just one of those Beta with benefits type situations when he's shining him on about hey, you know, kneeling before a powerful woman has tickled the balls of many a fine gentleman over the years. He's just relentless with this patter. And it's so funny. Yeah. But then you get to this and it's Yakety Sax in the background where it's like, you know, they're having a skin off and a hole digging competition, and he's got to kill a pig. And it, I don't know, reminds me of that scene from Finding Sarah Marshall where they make that guy butcher the pig, and he's kind of, I don't know. Like, it's funny, but the song made it worse. The song made it way worse.
The song always makes it worse in this show. Yeah, I don't get why they can't pick a piece of music that works in any of these scenes. This isn't a bad song. I kind of like the song, but I just hate the way it's used.
Or just have Bear McCreary. Hey, like, you got something kind of like lighthearted and kind of plucky, the, you know, like incongruous with the action. You do some light little comic, you know, like strings and notes you can play to let everybody under. But this is just, I don't know. It's too much. It's too much.
Maybe they went to Bear and he's like, no, I don't do lighthearted. I don't do that shit. It's fine. You know what? No, I'm not going to make you music. And then they said, well, okay, we don't want to upset Bear. Let's let him pick the music for these scenes, at least pick the licensed music. And so he's sabotaging licensed music in this show. He's like, no, if you're going to use music and it's going to be good, it's going to be mine. God damn it.
Throwing Bear under the bus. Oh my God. Villainy here.
I have no evidence to support that, but that's what I like to think. All right. There are a lot of sick people in the infirmary, just a ton of them. And Sadiq rolls up with Rosita and he gets pissed off that Dante didn't tell him about the stomach bug spreading. And he jumps into action here. He's saying, crush the herbs, crush them all. Find an herb, crush it.
Get the oils. I couldn't tell whether he's mixing up a healing concoction or they're serving a bread plate at like fucking Carrabba's, you know, it's like
making some garlic bread. Yeah.
Gotta get the pesto, get the garlic, get the olive oil. Get the unlimited bread. Let's go. Come on. We need to feed. Yeah, I know. That's the point. Like, we're way far beyond the fall of man. We're out of antibiotics, or if the fact that you'd use them is going to be under the most serious. So they're just essentially back to the boiling barks and flowers and hoping for the best phase, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to do much when you're drinking Walker guts.
Yeah, I'm really worried about how many people are going to end up dying. And like, oh God, are we going to go back to the whole, like, oh, we got a sick ward full of people. One of them died in the middle of the night. Oh my God, it rose up in it. If that happens, I'm going to scream. That should not happen.
Yeah, they have to have a protocol for dealing with people dying in the hospital, right?
Like, they don't, because Dante had like 16 people all mounded up together. There's no way that he could make sure, like, what if one of them did die? Is he going to get the, you know, is he just going to immediately knife him in the head? Is he going to wrestle him outside? Like, when he's doing that, what if another one rises up and starts slaughtering the weak all around them? It's like, good fuck. Yeah, this is like it was really egregious in the prison because, again, if you don't remember our coverage from back then, they were living in a fucking prison. It's super easy to isolate people in their own individual cells and still have ventilation and all that kind of shit. I don't know what you do in Alexander, but yeah, you got to do something because this is a real concern. I swear to God, if we have another of this sick ward of the damned uprisings, I'm going to lose it, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's a demerit on the so far unblemished record of Kang.
Yeah. So Daryl and Carol are hiking and planning their mission rules. They're not to leave any tracks, no killing walkers. If they get split up, they're going to head back and meet at the border. And then they cross over.
Mm-hmm. They got luck on their side. They got the double tapper, the twin topper.
It's true.
Which is that also like foreshadowing a relationship with Daryl? Because what's a twin topper but two acorns that are permanently connected?
There you go.
And like a bond, an emotional bond.
Oh, you discovered the meaning of the title.
Are Daryl and Carol? Oh, you're right. I just did it. Are Daryl and Carol that the twin topper? Is it Daryl and Connie?
Daryl and Carol. We didn't talk about this, but I liked what Carol said about, like, since when have you and I not been enough, you know, like to go do a dangerous mission or get a job done, right? Because they are. They're the people who spring into action and get shit done, taken care of, and you can rely on them. And now Daryl's talking about going back and getting reinforcements or taking it to the council or whatever. And
seems like madness.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Negan wants to eat some of the pig that he killed and cooked, but Beta says he hasn't earned it. And Negan lets it go and then is given a piece of it by another Whisper. Beta notices
that. Yeah, what's up with that? Is that just because Negan's that fucking cool? Or is this how Whisper kind of culture works? Like the pack, when the pack accepts you, that's when you're able to stay.
Maybe it might just be that, you know, not everybody is as on board with Alpha's shit as Beta is. So
I had the theory that this person is the one that he later knifes, but it's so dark. And I don't know if about you, but I'm watching this on Amazon and sometimes like the bit quality dips on a lot of these scenes for me, not in India, like most scenes. Other bits for this Walking Dead. And I could not tell if it's the, you know, because there's so many people with bows and arrows and whatnot, and I couldn't tell if it's the same, supposed to be the same guy, but it might be. And if that's the case, because Beta season is pissed, he takes note. Mm-hmm. You gave him a little piece of barbecue. I'm gonna snatch your life.
Yeah. All right. Before we move on, let's take another quick break.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
Taterbug manages to raise a woman on the radio. That's the first part of the scene here. Maybe we can skip over the next little insert to get to Eugene.
Okay, because the first thing I want to say is, though, is Eugene doing something wrong here? Because we talked about the danger of being triangulated and all that kind of stuff and of reaching out to a wider world. Is he think he's doing something wrong? Because his face in the scene where he finally gets someone back is kind of like, oh, shit, what do I do now? Like, should I go run and tell people like I made first contact? You know, like what would Jodie Foster do in the movie Contact? Would she like just chat and talk with the aliens about for a while? Or would she, you know, call the other scientists in and be like, what should we send back? What should the message be that we send back? I don't know. Yeah, do you think that he thinks he's in the wrong here?
I think that he is making a mistake by essentially divulging everything about himself and Alexandria without getting anything in return, without knowing who he's talking to, where they potentially are, what kind of people they are. I mean, the thing he needs to note here is that he is giving everything and getting nothing in return.
Yep.
And that is potentially a mistake.
Yep.
It could also be that he's able to ingratiate Alexandria into the good graces of these people, and they come join the community and they're fine people, whatever. But you need to be cautious for sure. And he's not.
Because we know there's nefarious trash people adjacent organizations that are well equipped with helicopters and long range communication devices that could, in fact, maybe triangulate your position. And it'd be super. Like, it would be super efficient to, like, go if you wanted to take out large towns and, like, take prisoners and stuff. Like, a place that's operating a ham radio of this power tells you that it's a well-established setup that they've got. Like, it's almost like,
yeah,
you know, I'm scared, too, because you're right. He is giving everything and getting nothing. But I could also see, like, a year and a half from now, me sitting in a theater and the setup for a Rick Grimes movie is Rick Grimes in a cage labeled A, you know, weekly. And he's like, he got long hair and long beard. And he hears like Eugene's voice crackling over. And it calls us like to let us know that, oh, this is the part. So I don't know. Cause it's, he's using his full name and that doesn't mean anything to anybody but us. So like that would be useful for being on the other side of the conversation. I don't know. It seems dangerous to me. And I think he knows that he probably shouldn't be having this kind of contact without at least telling people. And he's not. So,
and you pointed out kind of why he's not earlier in the episode when you were talking about him being desperate for female acknowledgement, essentially, right? Like if this isn't a woman who responds to him, I'm not sure he does the same things he's doing here.
That's a very good point. If it's just some dude, he's probably like, hey, dude, Reno, I gotta run this up the flag chain of command bullshit, you know, like, yeah. It's a lady. And then who?
Right.
Taterbug's here to feast on starch.
Jesus Christ. Ladies, full of starch. We know this. Scientists told us.
Oh, yeah. Head to toe. Sugar and spice and everything starch. That was the poem. It's good enough for me.
All right. The herd is still growing as Daryl and Carol approach it. Carol snaps a twig and a few whispers. Peel off and come after her. Daryl covers himself in walker guts to avoid detection by the other walkers.
Yeah, snapping that neck and gutting that zombie real quick, thinking no hesitation, Daryl. Yeah, also, I still think that when the whispers are doing their they're doing their whisper thing, it's hilarious. Not here.
Yeah.
Keep looking. It's just, it's fucking hilarious. It's like an actual like boogeyman in your closet trying to be, you know, slick. the child doesn't see me. It's just so funny. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like, because I remember reading the comics. I read the first few Whispers issue, and they always illustrated it with like these really long tortured text boxes with the warbly. It's like it's exactly how it's intended to sound. But when you're hearing it, it's always ridiculous.
For sure. Sadiq tends to a patient. He half apologizes to Dante for snapping and thanks him for his help. And then rocks baby Coco and himself to sleep later that night and has a nightmare and then wakes up outside at the top of the windmill, apparently holding the baby.
Sleepwalking, I think, if that's not like a continuation of his nightmare.
Mm-hmm. I think that's real.
Yeah, I like the scene between Sadiq and the old lady where she's like, you know, he's apologized for not able to do more for her. She's like, honestly, you know, in this world, like dying in a soft, warm bed is kind of like everyone's life goal, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I thought that was, it's like that, you know, it's a thankless job being cast as a nameless character just going to die probably. But I like it. I like that. Dante, what the fuck? Because like Sadiq's like, you know, I was probably a little too strong with you the other day, blah, blah, blah. And Dante immediately comes on strong to him. I don't get this Dante guy.
I don't know.
This is not the time or place, dude. Jesus.
I don't know what to say about this Dante guy. He's a handful for sure.
What do you think about this open your eyes business? What is this in connection to?
Open your eyes? I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's like that he did. There was like this demented whispering and it sounded like it was maybe a woman. Then maybe it was a monster or.
OK. And his nightmare
and his nightmare,
haze,
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Open your eyes. What could it mean?
I'm trying. Did we forget last season him being captured by the Whisperers and interrogated or something? Because like,
was. Yeah, I mean, he was the witness to the murders, right? And they let him go.
He was the one survivor that let him go, so he could talk about. Okay, so he's. I think what's happening is he's having flashbacks to that, right?
Oh yeah, he has been for episodes.
Okay,
for a few episodes.
All right.
I wasn't sure. They keep showing in the inside of that barn. Where everybody was killed.
Okay. So I think open your eyes is probably that's like it's going to lead up to we're going to see all of the carnage that was implied from last episode season. Like and it's some crucial thing. He's going to be reliving that instead of doing something else.
I mean, we kind of saw it. Remember there was like this slow mo scene. It was, I think, at the end of last season, like the slow mo scene of everybody. Like fighting walkers, right? It's Aaron's given like this speech about how, or Sadiq's given this speech about how brave everybody fought and how they were killed anyway. And the entire time they're showing like Enid slashing walkers' heads and
right. But they didn't like actually show makeshift. like Negan beating Glenn's brains out, kind of. We didn't actually see the sawing off of heads and whatnot.
Right. So yeah, I mean, we could get to see more of that, which I don't know. Do I want that?
That's what I said. The open your eyes going for is like, you know, her forcing him to watch this stuff.
Yeah. And unless they filmed it back then, they'd probably have to bring all those actors back, which
I think that's the most, honestly, that's the easiest, lowest hanging fruit. If I was Kang to improve the quality of the show is like, think a season ahead. You know, why we got all these people here, we had this idea for Sadiq to have this flat. Let's go ahead and get some trauma footage and we have to call these people back. It's the easiest fucking thing in the world. And I would imagine like it's low hanging fruit. I imagine she would do it. So I guess I would be on the like she probably got all the footage she needed before she let these actors go kind of thing. But
yeah, you'd hope
maybe
so.
Maybe not.
Yeah. It's too late to start that now because next season's last season. So. Hopefully she's done everything she needs to do. Negan tells Beta that they should probably get along because he's going to be part of this group. Beta tells him he'll never be one of them and Alpha's going to see through his shit. Negan says, nah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for Alpha. Not for you. And Beta sicks some walkers on him. Negan stabs one and then his knife breaks. Why?
He's just victim of shitty knives, man. He's going to have post-traumatic stress of knives breaking off and zombie heads at the end of this is what he's going to have.
This retroactively made last episode even stupider. Because clearly they only had that knife break so they could set up a second knife break thinking it was funny somehow. I didn't find it funny. I found it eye roll cringy.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Want those full tang knives, boys and girls. You don't want the, you know, like if you want a serious knife, it's got to have the full tang, full handle tang.
The Damascus steel, too.
Ford's Damascus. Yeah, sure. Yep. You got to have the best. Hanzo Hattori. Got to have a full tang Hanzo Hattori. Keep it in your back pocket. It won't ever let you down in the apocalypse. No victim of shitty knives, you. No, sir.
Yeah, I gotta imagine Japan probably just beat this shit, right? Like they've got all those knives over there. Mm-hmm. Imagine how easy it is to kill walkers. They probably just went like, okay, let's hand out the knives.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're like the rest Walker of the world. While you were fucking around, we were studying the blade for like the last 100 years, motherfucker. We got this stuff on lock. Yeah, sure.
Oh, you got no ammo for your guns. Sure. Oh, so sad.
Sure. There's 10 times more samurai blades than citizens in Japan.
That's it's true.
It's kind of like America with guns. You know, it's just the opposite. Fact. Yeah.
All right, Carol,
I'm sorry, Japan.
Yeah, we're obviously kidding. Carol takes a whisper hostage. She tells Daryl that she didn't play it on it. The guy just saw her, but he realizes she's full of shit when he sees that his hands are bound by zip ties.
She's got flexi cuffs. She's got them. I didn't expect this. Just be prepared. You know, that's what the
right
Girl Scouts motto, right?
All right, Eugene's talked all night to this woman. The sun is coming up. I think it's all night. I don't know. Maybe it's just been like a few hours. But he's telling her about his likes and his dislikes. She still won't reveal any information about herself. Eugene volunteers to share some information with her. Instead, she agrees to continue their conversations, but only if he keeps them secret. And this is your red fucking flag, Eugene. The person on the radio is getting you to divulge all of your secrets and telling you not to tell anyone else that you're doing it. Red fucking flashing light, man.
You are not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean, this is clearly something bad. I think, like I said, they've got technologically sophisticated bands of survivors doing things. You know, Georgie's got this whole rebooting human civilization project. You've got whatever the trash people are doing, their A and B helicopters. Like, Alexander's got a fucking stone flour mill operation, and Eugene's got this ham that he's just talking to people. It'll blow up in his face, and it's a damn shame. But we'll see how it goes. On the other hand, like, it's also a really good idea to try to make contact with bigger, you know. Because everything I said applies about a serious civilization that has a ham radio. There's obvious benefits from establishing alliances with those people. Mm-hmm. So it's a high risk, high reward situation, like any type of first contact and trade situation is. But my only problem with it, he's doing it with none of the other people in these settlements' consent. They have a whole fucking constitution now that says probably he shouldn't be doing stuff like this without, you know, at least getting people buying in. And I have a big problem. Lots of people doing that in this episode, though. So why not Eugene?
For sure. And then finally, we get a scene where Beta tells Alpha that Negan didn't survive, but Negan immediately shows up alive as he's ever been and pledges himself to Alpha, taking a knee before.
You guys are going to have to get out the extra long tape measure to get the properly metric these big old nuts I got. He's in fine form this episode.
He's great. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's so good.
And you know, Alpha gets up in his face and does this kind of like, am I going to sniff you? Am I going to kiss you? I'm just going to shush you. Does she buy into his shit? Like, because he is not going to be quiet. You might get him to whisper, but he's going to be running the steady patter of bullshit this whole time. There's no way. You can't take that out of Negan.
I want to see Negan doing his bullshit in the whisperer voice. My humongous ball.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about ball tapping, nut tapping.
Just constant while they're out there wrangling the herd. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It'd be funny.
Eugene both would be hilarious as whisperers.
Oh, Christ. Get them in a room or in a herd together.
Yeah.
It's going back and forth.
Like, no one. It'd be like your Navajo code talkers, only with zombie whisperers.
It's
the perfect unbreakable code. Just Eugene talks and ramble. Negan talks and ramble back. And there you go. No one can break that encryption.
So I don't know what I'm trying to think, like, what value would Alpha see in Negan beyond just having another whisperer in the pack? His backstory is not totally dissimilar to Beta's, right? Mm-hmm. She might identify with the loss that he's had and that trauma. And, you know, that's kind of her thing, as we saw in that one episode, like episode two or something. So
he's
maybe
powerful.
There's an in there. Yeah,
he's powerful. He's strong. He's not quite as overtly damaged and crazy as a Beta. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's a good looking man. Negan is handsome in the series. She might, you know, want to climb that tree. Like, there is something to the psychosexual submission domination game she's playing. And he might want to try to see if there's something there to exploit. I think he's going to definitely try it the way he's talking this episode. And, you know, she's going to probably, you know, to put a blade against his nuts and say, you say it's one more time. And he's like, oh, you're getting pants swelled tight or something. You know, he's going to see how far this can go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. How much he puts up with it and what his actual end is. I don't know that. And how much she will be charmed by this, how much she'll be repulsed by this, how much, you know, will Beta go along with too? Because that's the other thing is I don't have a good read is whether Beta has like some kind of psychosexual relationship with her.
Yeah.
Or whether he's just kind of a Daryl type where he's a little bit more asexual and he's just very submissive to her because, you know, and in the same way Amos is kind of, you know, you don't think of Amos on The Expanse as being submissive, but he absolutely is.
Yeah.
Like he submits himself to people that he think has better moral judgment because he recognizes he's a loose cannon and Beta could be similar. So, but is there a sexual component to that? I don't know. I felt like there is a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe. Also, Beta's been disagreeing with Alpha a lot lately. And if Negan come in there and just show that he can be the Beta she actually wants, even if he won't shut his mouth, at least he's saying the right things.
Yeah,
maybe there's a chance that he could work his way between them. Get demoted to Gamma. Mm-hmm. Where does Gamma go? I don't even know the next letter.
Or maybe he's an Epsilon. Oh my God, he's going to slide.
Oh, Negan no.
Beta and he's the Epsilon. Holy shit. What are you going to do then?
Yeah, there aren't that many letters left. You keep getting demoted.
You got Deltas in there somewhere. I think it does. Mm-hmm. Isn't this like Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon? I don't know.
That sounds right. There's a Theta in there, a Vega
then
somewhere.
They just started, the Greeks took a sword, just went right to Roman, and went F, and then...
Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. That's why they needed a letter for that. Is that it?
Is that it for the episode? Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Well, if you are hearing this episode, know that we are getting close. I think in episode 8, we're going at the mid-season point, we're going to consider some of the long-form written feedback. So if you've been holding on to that, please send that in to watchingdead@baldmove.com. Also, we tape this thing live Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/baldmove. But we also have our stereo.com/baldmove that we operate simultaneously, where people throughout the podcast can queue up and leave us voicemails. We consider those on a separate show later in the week. So that's another way you can get feedback. watchingdead@baldmove.com or stereo.com/baldmove while we're taping the show. So be on the lookout for that later in the week in the feed. Until then, we will be back with next week's episode. And until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.